up, people? Welcome to another edition of Sold Out. And I'm telling you what, folks, right now, it's going to be a super special show. I'm super excited for this one because joining me today live in studio is none other than Montreal's Al Green, Montreal's Marvin Gaye, but he's Montreal's Clarel also. And he's right here in studio with me. Clarel, thank you so much for being in studio. Oh, sorry, man. I had trouble with the mic there. Sorry.
Here we are.
There we go. Are you comfortable? Fantastic. Can you hear yourself?
Very well.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Oh, that's a radio voice.
Oh, coming for your job, right?
Oh, no. Oh, well, this is the only soul music show, in the city, maybe.
Okay, that means you must be really good at what you do.
I don't know about that.
Keep the competition quiet. That's rule number one.
But I'm super happy to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me. Fun. It's a real pleasure to be here.
This has been like a busy month for you, but it's also been like a busy year. Like 2019 has been a good year, can we say?
Yeah, definitely.
Because just about over a month ago, you dropped your first EP. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Songs from Under a Guava Tree.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that for a bit? Because I've been waiting since I found out about your music, maybe like 6 months ago or so. I was like, there's nothing on Spotify.
Yeah.
Like, where can I get more stuff? You know,
of course.
Your YouTube videos, you had your
Instagram,
Bandcamp, Facebook, SoundCloud, blah blah blah. But now you actually have like
your official recorded
thing.
Yes.
How long is that like in the process?
Well, I want to say it took us about roughly 8 months, you know, from really like starting the project to finishing it. And needless to say, I didn't actually think it was going to take that long. You know, initially the project was to have just recorded acoustic, you know, tracks. And because like you mentioned, a lot of the times whenever any people will come across performances, you know, whether it be online or maybe live, you know, since I play a lot around town as well, the first question that comes up is, well, you know, do you have any, where can I go listen to your music? You know, are you on Apple Music? Are you on Spotify? And so on. I really wanted to have, to start creating that music, take that music that I had, that I knew I had anyways, and really record it and put it, share it in a way that was accessible to as many people as possible.
When you said you had that music, how long did you have that music?
When I say had it, well, I meant in a general sense of, you know, there's songs, you know, I always have songs or bits of songs, you know, kind of lying around just waiting to be properly arranged and recorded. And so I knew I could, you know, like an EP felt like a good way to kind of introduce that. So I essentially I went ahead and started picking out some of the songs among the material that I had that I felt would go well together on an EP. Mm-hmm. And the plan initially was just to have recorded versions of them, just voice and guitar. Mm-hmm. So sort of like bypass the whole hassle of having to arrange and hire musicians and things like that. And so I got together with my friend Kento, initially Kento Kataoka, who co-produced the EP and played most of the instruments on it. We started recording one of the songs. And after that, you know, I just realized how easy and what a great experience it was just sitting with him in his little home studio and just essentially having an idea and being able to execute on it right away.
Totally.
You know? Saying, okay, I want this kind of keyboards, I want these voices on it, and it just happens. You know, you can just make it happen right there.
Wonderful.
And it's there. And, you know, and that sort of helped motivate me to kind of like try and like just arrange them a bit more, you know, and just like try and add, like make them as interesting as I could.
Sure.
And Kento was also very helpful in kind of helping bring about that kind of realization of, you know, like, okay, these songs, they sound good, you know, we could make them sound even better if we did maybe this or maybe that.
Sure.
And then after that, essentially the process was essentially, you know, working from the raw tracks and adding the different parts we thought of. There was a lot of editing, a lot of reviewing.
Yeah,
and
that takes a
lot. So yeah, it was a good learning experience too. That's what I wanted it to be, in a way.
For
just
sure.
Kind of getting just getting in a studio with an idea or a whole song and start thinking about, okay, what do you want this to sound like? You know, how do you want it to impact people?
Sure.
You
know? And I like the way you're talking, you know, like you had the idea of going in just to record basically like acoustic songs, like solo style, which you're very, like, you're super effective performer, just solo style like that. But you also play with bands, you play, you sing in front of multiple people behind you. So I like the way the EP kind of like straddles the line, because there's arrangements around these songs that aren't just acoustic guitar, but it's like subtle, you know. It's not there's I don't even know if there are there drums even on
no there's no live drums. No, and that was one I mean, it was half constraint and half kind of almost intent, that just to keep it as, you know, light as possible. Yeah. And so we use percussions and then we use some samples, which is not to say, I mean, I love live drums and
of course.
And actually, funny enough, believe it or not, the very, very first track I recorded for this project, for this EP, this release I wanted to have, which did not actually end up making it on was actually recorded with drums on
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
So it was a whole drum production. And then two of the tracks that are on the EP, after making them, we realized, okay, this is more of the direction.
Yeah.
So the idea is also to have something that sounds homogeneous, you know. Yeah. So if you were to just put it on and go do something else about your house or something, you know, it should feel like you're taking along some kind
That's a really good, like, producer kind of mentality to have, you know, when you're making a record like that.
You don't want to know what's this thing in the middle that seems so. Yeah. You know,
which, I mean, there's a time and place for those kinds
absolutely.
Of things.
Absolutely.
No, but for this record, you know, there's a great vibe all the way through, no doubt. Yeah. So, you know what? Yeah, I think actually now's the time, because I was going to start another topic, but I thought, you have your guitar, like, teasing me in front of you this whole time. What if you... Well, serenade us. What do you think, Clarell? You want to play something to share, from Songs from Under the Guava
absolutely,
Tree?
Absolutely, absolutely. So for all you listening at home, this next one is going to be Wild Things. I hope you enjoyed it. It's the second song on the EP. And I just want to mention that on this, I was very lucky to have my good friend and excellent, amazing singer, Fatoumata Galas, singing on it with me. Well, we have David Van der Voort playing keys and Kento Kataoka and I, you know, playing pretty much everything else, just guitars and things
Great.
Like that.
You heard it here, folks. This is this is Clarell in studio with me here on Sold Out on CJLO Radio 1690 AM. We're coming out from NDG in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and this is your destination for all things soul. It's only happening here. Nobody else has Clarell like this, right? All right. Oh, here, you know what? Let me just mute those while we get things started, if that's more comfortable for you. Clarell is setting up mics. Can you hear yourself a little bit better there?
Yeah.
I can adjust that for you if you want. That's okay?
Okay, yes.
You comfortable?
That's cool.
All right, we got one right in front of the guitar. You'll play guitar. I'll play the mixing board. Okay.
This is a team effort, guys.
All right, folks. Here's Clarell. Sold Out. CJLO Radio 1690 AM.
Wanna come down to my meat market? If you wanna come down now and fool me, this could be your chance. You won't believe all you can get for the price of a drink and a dance. And if you think the wrapping looks nice, wait till you see what's inside. Wanna find out where the wild things are. If you wanna find out right this minute, there's no reason why you should need to travel far. The asylum is passing you right by. And if you think the wrapping looks nice, wait till you see what's inside.
Come down to my meat market. If you want to find out how good it could get, you won't believe all you can get for the price of a drink and a day. And if you think the rapping looks nice, and if you think the rapping looks nice, and if you think the rapping looks nice, wait till you see what's inside.
Friday night. I'm so lonely, and nobody will give me a ride to the Grateful Dead concert. Oh, Rats.
Don't fret. There's always Brave New Jams, your source for the best in improvisational rock and roll. That's Brave New Jams, Saturday, 10 p.m. till midnight, on CJLO, 1690 a.m., CJLO.com.
CJLO and Blue Skies Turn Black present Operators live at Fairmount Theater on Saturday, October 5th. Hot on the heels of their new album, Radiant Dawn, Operators will be joined by locals Legal Vertigo. Doors open at 8 p.m. with the show starting at 9. Tickets are $20 in advance or $23 at the door. This show is part of CJLO's 1690 AM's 20th anniversary celebration, so come out and party with us at Fairmount Theater on Saturday, October 5th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit blueskiesturnblack.com.
Welcome back to Sold Out, people. You were just delighted, or that's not the right word. Well, I was delighted with this performance of Wild Things that my guest Clarell just did before the break. That was amazing, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had fun.
Yeah. How far back did that song go?
I think this was one of the first one that I finished for this record. I think I wrote it maybe 3 years ago. You know, like the way I write, it's difficult to pinpoint the exact moment because the way I write is, you know.
Yeah, on and off.
On and off, and there's different bits and pieces that come at different times, you know. And usually the music will get figured out first, you know.
Yeah.
And where you might have maybe that introduction, that do-do-do-do-do, and things like that. And then later on, you know, as, you know, which is for me, the main way I do it is I just grabbing the guitar and trying to jam and sing the song into existence.
Sure, that's great.
And so, like, at some point you kind of hit that. And which I think was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
So we've talked about your sort of songwriting style and how your new EP Songs from Under a Guava Tree was produced and all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I want to go even further back now, man. Mm-hmm. Let's say I talk to a 15-year-old Clarell.
Oh,
and I'm like,
dead and gone.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay.
The word is a better place for that. No, I'm just kidding.
So let's say I say, Clarell, what are you listening to, man? Like, what?
Oh,
you're 15 years old.
15 years old, man. There's only one band I'm listening to.
What's that?
It's Queen all day long.
No shit.
No, yes, because when I was, I think, when I was 13 or 14, my mother, she's an accountant, and we used to live in Cameroon at the time, and she would sometimes go out of the country for these work trips. So she'd go to France and places like that, and she'd come back with, you know, DVDs, CDs, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And one day she came back with a greatest hit. I think the third heard Queen Greatest Hit City, and it was it was love at first hear. And literally, you know, all I listened was specifically the tracks from the album Innuendo. I think specifically when I was 15.
Interesting.
Those were songs like not a day could go by without me like singing one or several of like.
Really?
You know, that was really, really. I fell really hard into that.
That's really cool. Because you know what? Like nowadays, as your star is rising in this city, people say. Like I threw out the names already at the beginning of the show. Al Green, Marvin Gaye, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I imagine that's like, that's fun to hear because it's meant as like, you know, a compliment.
And I love those guys
but,
myself.
So. Yeah, but I don't want to, nobody wants to like pigeonhole you. Exactly.
No, it's but at the same time, I understand it in a way because obviously, you know, we're all very busy people. So it's easy for us to kind of, you know, if they're able to associate it with something else that they know and already like, you know, for me, it might be an easy introduction. And then
for
like, it's my chance. Maybe when they come to see me or like when they go listen to something I've made,
that's
my chance to kind of show like what's more specific to me or what's more my style.
That's right. That's how, how like, I've learned about you through, Shane, Asseline Shane on drums from M Live and all that. He was the first guest on this show actually.
Ah.
And he mentioned your name and I was like, who? Who? And then he said, no, if you want soul Montreal, like, this is the guy. But then the more I listened, like, some stuff on YouTube that you've posted, there's Beatles covers. There's, there's the Bob Dylan cover you did recently.
Oh, yeah, You Make You Feel My Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so essentially, I think it just comes down to love. Like, you know, as a singer, I just love beautiful songs, you know.
Sure.
Like, when we used to go in church as a kid, I'd go and I'd listen, you know, I'd sleep through the actual service, but when it was time to actually sing, you know, I loved it and I was just listening and singing along.
Is that where most of that starts for you with music? Like, your exposure to music starts in choirs? Or
not necessarily. It doesn't... Well, it's very, very influenced by that, but actually it was my, I want to say my grandmother, you know, when I was a child, I lived in Montreal for a few years as a child, as a very small child, because my dad was studying here, was getting a PhD. So when we went back, you know, my parents were working a lot, so, you know, we were mostly in the care of our grandparents, and my grandmother and I had this ritual where at night, you know, she'd take this book of nursery rhymes, French nursery rhymes, and she'd teach me a couple of them before, you know, I went to bed or something like that. And so that's my earliest, you know, recollection of like singing as something that I really looked forward to and that I enjoyed.
Wow.
You know,
that's really sweet.
Like, we'd read the words off the page, and so that's kind of where I really, really got into it. And then after that, pretty much, you know, as a child, you absorb everything, the theme songs to your favorite cartoon.
I hear that.
They're like, you know, like the like church songs, whatever goes on the radio, you know.
Yep.
And and I think part of why like I started doing it a lot was that obviously back in the day, I mean, I'm not that old, but back in the day it wasn't that easy to get your hands or in Cameroon to get your hands on a Walkman or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
So if there was a song that you really liked and that you wanted to hear again after maybe you heard it like by chance on the radio or something like that, like for me at the time the only way I could really hear it again was to sing it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just to sing it back to myself.
Yeah, sure.
I think I did a lot of, and I mean, I still do.
That's like you're practicing without even noticing it, really.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So then, like you said, it's kind of an amalgamation of influences and things. But when you sit down, I don't think anybody as a singer in a band really thinks like, oh, I want to be exactly like this as a singer or as a band. Uh-huh. For you, do you think when you write songs, you go, like I've heard Questlove talk about this, where he's like, I want to play like X. I want to write a song like Paul McCartney, or I want to make a song do you use that? Or do you
element of, you know, I think, I mean, for most of us musicians, you know, like part of what gets you into it is like you see someone that's doing it really well, and you know, maybe you see the adulation they're receiving, things like that. It's like, wow, that's cool. They sound so good. Everybody loves it. Like,
And then you just steal. You know? That's all you got
to
do.
You're trying to do. But I think as far as like songwriting in particular, I mean, you may have that natural knack for, you know, like executing on a specific style that's associated to a person or another. But in the end, I think it's hard to fight yourself, like your own kind of. Your own kind of style or your own kind of proclivities will come out by themselves.
Yeah, and you might feel like you're copying somebody else the whole time. Yeah,
exactly.
But to everybody else, it sounds like new. It sounds unique, right?
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, that's also the good thing when you have a lot of different influences, because, like, you know, like it might be copying or stealing from things that you know nobody else, you know, I mean, if I'm in my reference, like in things like maybe chord structures or melodies or rhythm or the way I enunciate mm-hmm. certain words, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm very inspired by something that I listened to on the radio back in Douala, Cameroon, you mm-hmm. know, I'm aware it might sound fresher to people here who are mm-hmm. not as in tune necessarily with that, you know, unless they're like very kind of like they like that and they research that and that kind of
for
thing.
For sure.
So, yeah, no, it's at first you come into it and part of why I admire that and part of what makes me want to kind of like get better at it and continue doing it is that, you know, I know how it affects me personally, like songwriters that I enjoy, you know, whose work I enjoy, in both French and English, you know,
for sure.
Like, I'm very touched by that and I'm thinking, man, what a noble calling to be able to do that for other people, you know, and so that motivates me to go and try and get better at that. At the same time, I think the more I do it, what I'm finding out, what I'm learning is that there are certain things that I seem to have an easier like way of expressing, or you know, certain forms of expression, mm-hmm. you know, that feel more like they feel closer to me.
You think of something as an example specifically in one of your songs or something that calls on that? Do you think?
Maybe. I mean, something like Lonely Dance, you know, which is really like it's a song that I think that came out because I just enjoyed how it like felt singing it.
Yeah. So it's catchy. It's super catchy.
I'm glad you like it, you know, for anyone that likes it, it's a good thing, you know, because it's one of those things where sometimes, I mean, when you're making music, especially today, you know, you might always be trying to figure out how what you do stands in comparison to like other things, because the name of the game today is like, what do you remind people of, or like what are you like, you know,
exactly,
and sometimes you have a harder time finding that thing that's close to you, you know,
totally.
But no, in my case, honestly, like I guess, yeah, something like Lonely Dance definitely feels like something that's more, you know, there was this like this I like to say high life vibe, you know, maybe in the melody and in the repetition, the chanting, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a work in progress, you know, so I'm still very finding out like what that voice is and what that is. The good thing about being a vocalist though is that, you know, I also just love singing, you know, and singing actually is obviously comes a lot more naturally to me than songwriting, which is like, that's something I actually have to work at and develop. Singing too, but to a lesser extent, because it's something that I've been doing for longer and that I've just internalized or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
So because of that, so I'm able to, you know, like when if you see the covers that I share online and things like that, if it's a song I like, if it's a melody I like, it's easy usually to just kind of take that and appropriate it, you know, interpret
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I totally hear you on that.
That's a gift too, to be able to do that. I think it's cool.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And I think it's interesting. I'm going to keep relating it back to soul music because, yeah, you know,
it's sold out.
This is sold out. Yeah. But like, ooh. Let's say like, yeah, you're talking about creating a voice and all this. Mm-hmm. I find it's really interesting because, well, what were you going
to
say?
No, I was just going to say specifically relating to soul.
Yeah.
Because that was actually, we were talking earlier, I was telling you, I went to school in the States.
Yeah.
Soul was something that I actually discovered, like really discovered beyond just, you know, the popular tracks.
Yeah.
Discovered in at university. And it really hit me. Not just this, you know, you have Marvin Gaye, the What's Going On, you know, it feels so different and so fresh from everything else you're listening to. You
absolutely.
Know? It's not about, it's a lot less declarative in a sense, like, you know, it's not, oh, I love you or this.
Exactly.
No, it's just like, oh, what's happening, what's going on, okay, let's just chill and smoke about it for a bit.
Exactly. You know what, man, I always find it's like part of why I love doing the show is I feel like soul is such a common denominator. I haven't met one person that doesn't like it. It's like, you know, I mean, there's communities for everything, obviously, but like you can make a metalhead listen to soul music, chances are they're probably gonna like it.
It's just so, it's stripped down to its bare element, and there's not enough in it to hate, you know.
It's so honest, right?
Yeah,
like
it's clear, and
yeah
that's it, it's raw, and like for me, finding out about that and like and in the music too, like the music is a lot more, you know, it's a lot more about the ambience and the vibe, you know. It's not always like necessarily a specific melody, it's more like, oh, there's this little instrument, this line that comes in,
yep,
that kind of thing. And for me, yeah, it's I love that.
Right, it's not just vocal, it's not just the content of the lyrics or whatever, it's, you know, everything setting a
the
vibe
picture of it,
oh,
you know?
Yeah,
and it has such a very like such a strong, it can have such a strong like identity in the sense of, you know, you being able to take like 5 seconds out of the songs and you know exactly where in the track you are.
Oh yeah.
And I also liked that it was a lot less rigid in structure. That was it. You know, I mean, we were talking about the Marvin Gayes, the Al Greens, the Otis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a rawness about the way they approach that. You know, that and other, like, you know, even the Jerry Butlers or like in general, like musicians, like the soul singers that I think you and I both like, mm-hmm. they do that. They, you know, there's a track and there's a song and there's a melody, but, you know, they're not just showing up and, like, giving you the melody with your voice, you know. It's like, yep. they're going to, like, some parts are going to dig a bit, you know, deeper. Some parts are just going to hold back. They're going to let some words just float.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just remember because when I tell you, like, in college, when I discovered that, it was just me, like, binge watching, like all kinds of Marvin Gaye live videos. You know, I just became addicted to watching him live.
Yep.
And how, like, every time there might be a song that he does, and there might exist maybe 100 videos of him doing that song, and every time it's so different. It's never the same.
Never the same.
It's never the same, but it's still always compelling, you know.
Absolutely.
And he has you kind of hanging on to, like, what he's going to do. Like,
oh,
there's nothing
yeah.
superfluous about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think that's kind of why, probably why eventually, even though, you know, I was talking about, like, growing up listening to all kinds of, like, maybe Queen
sure.
and that
for
kind
sure,
of thing.
For sure, for sure.
Like, as far as, like, what I'm doing now, my creative output now, like soul feels like the natural.
Exactly. And that's output. What I wanted to touch on, because, like, maybe that's why some people think of you in that kind of way, because your music does have that honesty and that kind of appeal that, you know, people, when they hear it, probably associate with other things in soul that are common with it. Mm-hmm. But... wait, what was I going to ask you? Now I'm having a total blank. Oh, yeah, of course, I remember. This is something I was actually excited to talk about, because in terms of, like, being part of that soul music lexicon, let's say, or, like, I don't know, that kind of realm, there have been acts, like, in the last 20 years, let's say, you have, like, your Amy Winehouses or your Sharon Jones and the Dab Kings, Leon
Bradley,
Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And all of them in moving, like, soul music forward also have to be, like, retro. They have to have, like, a retro aesthetic, retro production. I'm really curious to figure out your opinion on this, because it's like, you can... obviously, soul music doesn't exist just in 1960 and 1970.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. There's a continual thing to it. What do you feel like, how do you move forward, but also
stay true to the
exactly
classic, I think that's a very good question, actually. And I think, obviously, like, when you're talking about music, you're never just talking about music, you know. It comes with an aesthetic, it comes with a fashion, you know, maybe some ways of thinking. And I think, well, if you think some of those artists you mentioned recently, it's true, like, just because of how the music was created, the soul music originally created and written and performed, it calls maybe for specific band arrangements, you know. Now, like, when you're touching on things like fashion, I feel like that's, you know, you might still find, because I think, you know, you can talk about someone like Leon Bridges, but someone like Daniel Caesar has just as much soul, you know.
Very true.
You can say,
very true.
You know, like the Ryan Leslies.
Yep.
You know,
have you heard of Leif Vollebæk? He's
yes.
Yeah, him too. I play him on the show all the time, because I'll consider that soul-ish, but that's something completely.
That's it. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I think especially talking about Leon Bridges, obviously there's a very immediate connection you can draw, like, because of his aesthetic, to someone like, specifically, like Sam Cooke,
yeah.
So then you become like, you're more, you know, you're a reminder of that too. So obviously people know Sam Cooke, and Sam Cooke had a specific aesthetic and things like that.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, no, but I mean, I think that's true of those same musicians. I don't think necessarily the way they live necessarily, you know, they don't, you know, like, not use internet.
Man, of course not.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a way to. I honestly believe there is a way to do it in a way, in a way that is not necessarily just retro. And I mean, I tried, and, you know, when I write and in recording, that's what I try to do. That's a name that I have. I tried to do it a bit on Songs from Under a Guava Tree. It was a good learning experience for me to figure out ways to do it, like write some of those songs that maybe lend themselves very naturally to a very specific type of arrangement.
Exactly.
Just try and see, okay, how can you broaden it and expand it, you know, at least for the recorded version. Sometimes live, you know, it's just, you can just stick to what works well live, and that's good. And I mean, yeah, honestly, that's something I'm still figuring out myself, because I know it is true. I mean, there's a lot of things I like, actually a lot of things I like about, like, just the retro vibe in general. And that's just my subjective, you know, just my subjective personality.
Of course, of course.
But yeah, I know necessarily, like, I don't want you know, the music, well, for the music I make, or myself as an artist, I don't consider myself just entrenched in ideas of the past.
No, you're not. You're not a throwback.
Certainly between you and I, I wouldn't have wanted to live in, you know, Detroit in like 1961.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
So yeah, no. But I think today, because of that, because of where we are today, it's actually exciting, I think, because then you, in a way, anybody that's writing this music now or creating this music now contributes to what that's going to look like now.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. You got like, the perspective.
You got the Janelle Monáes, man. Like, you know, like they create what now in the future people are going to look back on this period. Okay, this is what the people.
This is so 2019. Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, that's part of the quest for me. Like, it's like, okay, like with what you have now, how can you create something that feels very, you know, like present, that touches people today?
Yeah.
You know.
But it's cool to be in a spot where you can still write songs that are of their time, like you said, like this is situated now, your music, but also like it's not out of place anywhere. Like it can probably slide around. It's timeless.
It's free of that.
It's timeless. You
know, that's it. And yeah. So I mean, retro. For me, honestly, when I listen to a song by if I'm listening to a song by Sam Cooke or Otis, if I'm listening to like Talking Heads, listening to the Human League, like something from the 70s, 80s, or something, I'm never listening to it and thinking, "Oh wow, that sounds so retro." For me, it's like, wow, this sounds amazing.
You don't think Human League sounds retro?
I mean, that's not retro is not the word. I mean, they do sound. I mean, obviously, they are. You know, it's 1980s.
Yeah, sure.
But that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. First thing that gets me excited is, wow, this sounds really good. I love how this sounds. I would have loved this. And I mean, then you go on Wikipedia and you find out, okay, this song was written in the 70s or something.
Yep.
But honestly, like this thing could be coming out now.
Totally.
And it would probably still be a banger. And that's why I believe if you listen to a lot of the hits, some of the hits that are made today or that were made over the 2010s, there's a lot of covering and resampling some of those older tracks just because it's just good.
It's just good. That's all we have.
You know, there was the movie that came out recently. I haven't watched it personally, but yeah, the Yesterday movie.
With the Beatles.
But yeah, but the premise is just so, I mean, I think it's a very interesting premise.
Totally.
You know, the guy who wakes up and finds out is the only guy who knows all the Beatles tune. And I believe like a band that makes music like that today, nobody, you know, like you, who listens to the Beatles and thinks, you know, oh, wow, that's so retro. Like, that's so old. Maybe like, I mean, there's a lot of associations there, obviously. But at first, you'd
be surprised the kind of people I know.
I mean, no judgment. You know, no judgment. Oh, I guess for me,
no, it's okay. You know what, Pharrell? Let me say it. If you don't like the Beatles, I'm judging you, man. Turn off the radio.
And that's that. Yeah, no. But honestly, the first thing, you know, I remember the first time I listened to a song like "Let It Be." And I didn't even know, I wasn't aware of the Beatles as a band.
Ooh, that's a really like rare spot to be in.
Yeah,
eh?
I know. Yeah. I mean, growing up Central Africa, I don't know what to tell
you. Wow.
But you know, it's just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, this is a beauty. And in fact, I mean, specifically about that, I heard it from, you know, those toy pianos that they have, and then they have some preloaded songs.
Okay.
So it wasn't even the actual recording. I just heard a piano arrangement of it.
Like on a little digital piano? Okay, yeah. That's so cute.
So I think that speaks to the fact that, you know, when a piece of music is good and compelling, it is that forever, you know, and then certain time is less kind to certain kinds of music, you know, CF, you know, Human League, or
no disrespect.
Man, I listen to that all day. I mean, I'm you know, I'm a hardcore retro
I know
guy.
You are
I come
I
out right now.
I know
not
you
even
are.
Gonna like front on that.
I know you are.
But you know, for me, like, I always approach it from your point of view of it's amazing. It's music I love listening to.
Yep.
You know, like those drums are thumping and things like
that. Yeah, it's just like Ray Charles once said. He said, "There's only two kinds of music." He said, "There's good and there's bad."
Well, yeah, it's true. Know, it's like it's, you know, what gets you going and what doesn't.
Exactly.
And even today, I mean, because I'm not saying that, you know, you're still listening to what's going on today. You know, and I feel like today, like, you're listening for different things. You know, so like today, you really have to kind of know, okay, this is the genre, this is why this is considered good, or this is that. Yeah, but honestly, for me, I mean, I consider it like I write mostly on like an
acoustic
guitar. You know, I figure with a voice and acoustic guitar, you don't give enough to people to hate. So
it's true.
If you just start with that, you might make it out okay. You know?
That's an interesting way to put it. for sure.
Yeah.
I'm writing on guitar. Do you find, because sometimes I get frustrated because I'm like, I pick it up, I go G, C, D, C, G. I'm like, oh, this is the same. Like, I'm just repeating every. How do you get over that? How do you Do you do any different tunings? Do you just...
I've yet to experiment with it. I've been wanting to, actually, okay. Because I'm always impressed by people that come up and they're playing on some drop D or some kind of thing.
But it's for beautiful.
Me, yeah, it is great. Yeah. For me, at first, I mean, sometimes you'll grab your guitar and maybe you'll have a sequence, a chord sequence that gives you an idea. But for me, usually by the time I have the guitar in my hand, like at first, usually like I think of like there's a melody that's going through my head first that I want to, okay, like let's put it in the context of this chord, these chords and that chord.
Okay.
And then from there, you can start building. It is true that it's not easy to just like grab a guitar like that and like just try and like cook something.
That's it. I sit down and I go, okay, I'm going to write a song.
Yeah.
Everybody shut up. it's going to happen.
Be quiet. Yeah, all right, guys,
I walk myself up for like half an hour and then I come out and it just sounds like...
Yeah. That's difficult. I mean, I feel that's easier to do. Well, once you have like a primer, I call it a primer. Once you have something like, oh, a bit of music that kind of like gets you, oh, okay, I kind of like that. I'm wondering, like, where should it, like, if this were a song, you know, would this be the chorus? Would this be the verse? Would it be the first part, like an A, B?
Yep.
And then you just try playing around with it. There is a part where, yeah, you do have to kind of, like, lock yourself down and really, like, okay, this is it, and work out the structure and find something that works for you. But I think initially, for me anyways, like, there's already something going through my head. Like, almost all the songs that I've written, like, the melodies were first, you know, like, you know, something, you wake up, you're doing something else, and then, oh, like, okay, and then you see that you start humming to yourself, you're humming into your phone or something,
sure,
record it, and then, okay, and then you try it, and then, yeah, you might try some words, you know, it's funny, it's a funny science.
There's no science. One way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, and I always, I'll ask people that kind of question all the time, and
I like, you know, they I always, like finding about
they always kind of, like, shrug, you know, they're like, I don't know,
honestly, I can tell you, because I would find it hard to do it the way you've described, too, like, if you told me like, okay, right now, like try and do something, I mean, I would pull. But that's a good thing about is that like once when you get in the habit of like recording bits of music like that, like often like, okay, if you put on the spot, like might have something
to grasp on and then eventually expand. When you were performing with other bands, like we were talking before about The Hurt, would you write songs with the band, or would you write them primarily by yourself, or were covers?
No, those, yeah. With The Hurt, it's all covers.
It is,
we
okay.
do have, well, mostly covers, and we did experiment with songwriting too, but then we figured out we really, because like, I mean, it's one thing already to like be, it's an exercise to writing songs by yourself, you know, but now doing it as a college, you know, like in a group, it really takes, you know, it's a different exercise altogether. And for what we do, you know, the reason we connected initially was over these, you know, these covers that we really loved. And so, yeah, so that's kind of what we are focusing on with that band.
So you're still doing some, you're doing a lot of solo shows these days, but is that still active?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, and it's a good workout, because then that's an opportunity to kind of get more into the play acting, you know, like I can get an afro on my head and like get some suspenders and go out and pretend.
Play the part.
You know.
That's
Michigan
cool.
in 1966 or something.
That's
Yeah, stretch your stuff on the stage and things like that. So, no, for me, it's great fun. It's a great learning experience, too. You know, same thing. There's this other band I play with, Only the Righteous.
Yes.
Also a lot of covers, but, like, there's a lot, you know, we have originals, too, and there's some... I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Some
Don't
improvisation.
Worry about it. It's not easy to talk for 45 minutes straight, eh?
No. It's actually, I mean, this is a lot of fun right now. But so we play together. We play together a lot, and we do have originals. And it's funny because, you know, soul is a genre that, you know, we execute well on. It's just, you know, like, okay, for those specific, well, in my specific vocal apparatus, you know, I'm lucky that I can execute well
just
on things
works.
Like that.
Yeah.
It works really well. So if you have other players that can also really execute well on that, it gives a good show, you know.
Yeah.
But oftentimes when we start writing, you know, it's going to go in different tangents, you know. Like,
for sure,
everybody's very, very, very African, Western African, you know.
Yeah, everybody's got an idea.
Everybody has different influences, which
for
don't
sure.
necessarily come out the same way.
For sure.
And, that's good. That's exciting, you know, honestly, when you're creating something like that and you look at it and you can see the different personalities, you know, reflected in the final product.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting in talking about, well, oh man, I wish we could operate outside of time right now.
Oh ho ho.
Are you
talking about a time stone? Is that a thing?
Oh, are you a Marvel Comics kind of guy?
What?
Hey, all right, Doctor Strange. you're still listening to CJLO Radio 1690 AM, and I'm here with Clarell. This is a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Cool, man. Thanks for the invitation. Do you feel? I know we've been talking for so long. I don't know if your vocal cords are strained.
Yeah, I mean, think the humidity in the room right now is just...
I should have... Your agent should
can
have...
Can I speak to a manager? Nah, I'm good, man.
How does your singing voice feel?
Right now, it feels okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think it's time for another
man,
tune?
Man, I'd love to.
Okay. All right, so Clarell's picking up his guitar now. What kind of guitar is this, actually, Clarell?
A. Martin.
Oh, beautiful.
Don't ask me what kind.
That's all right. It's a Martin acoustic
it's
guitar.
It's a Martin acoustic guitar.
Yeah. With a little cutaway so that you can really shred at the top.
Totally.
There.
Which I'm clearly well known to do.
What do you feel like all cooking right. up for us?
Well,
right now?
Well, I'd like to share with you. So for those of you who might kind of like teetering on the edge, like, should I go check this out? So, I mean... I'd like to share with you the single, I guess, of the EP.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Blackstone. I hope you enjoy it.
Blackstone. All right, people. You're still listening to CJLO Radio. Clarell's going to play Blackstone for us off his latest EP, Songs from Under the Guava Tree. Under a Guava Tree. I don't want to say the. Just so in case you want to Google it, Songs from Under a Guava Tree. And we're going to go right into commercials right after the performance. But stick around because we still got a good piece of the conversation waiting ahead of us. So I'll see you on the other side of the break. Clarell, please serenade us.
Well, time will help us on the line, the happy chapters. Now I can't help but see the line you're ever after. No, I've no desire to carry on all by my lonesome. I'm just a blackstone on the road when all is said and done. That's the way it goes. Oh, what about the way you held my hand? The way our fingers seemed to lock so perfectly. The way I felt at ease in your silence. Don't tell me all the dreamy nights were just a dream. Now I think about it, we could have been so much more. Whoa, that's the way she goes down. That's the way she drowns. And it could be so easy. It could be so easy. It could be so easy. Do let me be the one to change it all. Well, time will help us cauterize the open wounds. Sometimes it's walking through the fire that lends you the moon. No, I've no desire to carry on all by my lonesome. I'm just a blackstone on the road when all is said and done. That's the way it goes. What about the way you held my hands? The way our fingers seem to lock so perfectly. The way I felt at ease in your silence. Hey, don't tell me all the dreamy nights were just a dream. Now I think about it, we could have been so much more. Whoa, that's the way she goes down. Hey, that's the way she drowns. It could be so easy. 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 It could be so easy.
Soccer is full of emotion. Red cards, penalties, and late goals make it a beautiful game. And if this gives you goosebumps,
it's Grosso! Italy surely are through to Berlin!
Then you should probably listen to the Calcio Guys.
We talk everything about European soccer, focusing on the Italian Serie A league.
We also connect soccer fans in Montreal to the beautiful game.
With myself, Nicholas Di Giovanni, Adriano Di Nardo, and Gianni Della Colli.
Tuesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. only on CJOO 1690 AM or CJOO.com.
Don't miss the indie folk band The Paper Kites on October 9th at L'Estrel with special guest Tall Heights. Get your tickets now on evenco.ca.
Welcome back to Sold Out, everybody. I'm still talking here with my friend, Clarell. And you got a mic there, Clarell? Here, I'll let you adjust it. I'm letting him adjust it, and then I'll put the volume back up. Yeah, is that okay with you?
Yeah, we are.
There we are. Okay, good. You having fun on the radio, Clarell?
I love it.
Have you done interviews before like
I've
this?
I've done a couple on the radios.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Well, I've been to your CKUT colleagues once.
They're not the colleagues, man. They're the
competition.
Those are the enemy. No, okay. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, it was a good time there. But, I mean, it's usually a lot shorter, though. You know, and it's usually kind of as a featured guest on something else. But,
yeah, for sure.
You know, this is definitely one of the more fun I've had.
Awesome. Ugh, definitely. Music to my ears, man.
Seriously.
But you know what? While you're talking about things in the city like that, we were just mm-hmm. talking about this a little bit before, mm-hmm. over the commercials before we started recording again. Mm-hmm. This is important. We don't have too much time left, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but no, I really want to talk about this. The state of things in Montreal. What's the state of soul? Because, you know, like you were saying before, you were living in Ohio a little bit uh-huh. before Montreal, and then you uh-huh. moved here
uh-huh.
and you started your music career.
Mm-hmm.
People yeah. don't usually move to Montreal to do music.
Really?
I don't know.
I've met a lot
oh, yeah?
of people in that case.
Really?
From other provinces, yeah.
No kidding.
Like lots of Vancouverites and, I mean, some people from Ontario. But it's true, I guess Toronto would be kind of like the...
Exactly.
The Mecca.
And there's a lot of great stuff that's come out of Toronto. Like
yeah.
you were talking about Daniel Caesar before
yeah.
and things like that, you know?
Absolutely.
But the more I've been doing this show, the more I realize there's people like you. There's people like Honora, who mm-hmm. you played with at the Rialto
mm-hmm. yes.
opening. I can't believe we didn't talk about this yet. You opened yeah. for Mavis Staples a week ago last Sunday. Amazing yeah. show.
Thank you.
So you hear that, people? This guy opened for Mavis Staples. In any case, people like Honora, people like we mentioned Leif Volebeck, mm-hmm. And all the things going on at Turbo House with Shane yeah. and Shem G and all that, and all these people that come through and kind of like this hip hop R&B scene.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think about it?
Honestly, I mean, it seems to be alive and thriving. Honestly, that's my uneducated observation of it. Honestly, I was very, very lucky to find, you know, scenes like the ones you mentioned, you know, the Urban Science Cypher,
mm-hmm.
where I could really kind of get a feel for what was happening.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And what people liked. And so, yeah, I guess Montreal is a very R&B city. You know, Montreal loves it's like 90s, 2000 R&Bs. You know, it's hip hop.
For sure.
And that has been actually an apprentissage. Like it's been
for me too.
Like just finding more out more about those genres of music because they're not necessarily styles that are dug very deep before moving to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know the D'Angelo's and things like
oh,
that.
Oh man,
yeah, you know that's the good stuff, right?
Yeah, it's not even fair.
So yeah, no, I mean honestly, like for me, it looks like there's some people doing some very very cool, exciting things. You know. Yeah, soulful things. You know, that's the thing about soul music is that, I mean, it's barely a genre in the sense that it's so adaptable to so many different things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
you're saying, it's really interesting when you go see, like I used to go to M Live to mm-hmm. check out the jams, or you're talking mm-hmm. about Cypher, or mm-hmm. Or what's it called now at Turbo House?
Grove, right?
Yeah. That they'll have like a theme night. It'll be like, okay, this is like, we're going to do James Brown night,
right,
or we're going to do,
right.
But it ends up, I mean, they have like MCs and stuff come on the stage and
exactly.
totally reinvent, put it's, everything around.
Yeah,
so.
No, so honestly, no, for me, it's been like going to school in a way, you know, it's like you go
yeah.
there because like this is just
things that people have been, they're into it and they've been into it for some time. So you kind of go discover that, and it's an opportunity for you to really get an education into that or an introduction. So that's been really cool. And, you know, just also kind of connecting with some of the like musicians in town playing this kind of music, maybe playing some of the like the same kind of the repertoire in terms of the classic soul and that kind of thing. And no, it's just, you know, we're connecting, bonding over that, just loving that kind of music, you know, and being able to bring it to life on occasion. That's just a blessing, honestly.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Do you feel like Montreal has some kind of limit to like what you can do? Do you see yourself like when the time comes, it's like, okay, Clarel's going to LA, you know what I mean?
Like, honestly, for me, I mean, you know, I like Montreal as a city. I love living here. It's great. For me, like just in general, as far as being a musician, I always wanted, you know, to travel with it, you know.
Oh,
like,
great.
It was never just about like being in Montreal and playing just in Montreal, which I love to do. But like, yeah, part of the excitement and the, for me, part of the reward of it is being able to take that outside and go and discover other people, like speaking other languages. And that has been actually one of the greatest joys of like being able to increase like maybe like my reach with like the social networks. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to connect with people in other places.
You know,
in other
countries, I'm sure. You know, it's always fun when somebody reaches out and they're like, hey, we're listening to you from Ireland or something, and you're like,
it's
wow,
it's amazing. Yeah, that's cool. And like, and for me, just as a person who just loves traveling, period, you know, it's just, yeah, that's it for me. For me, that's the biggest thing. So like, yeah, so I don't really feel like there's a push and pull as far as that goes, you know. In any case, I wouldn't want to be in any one city just doing it, you know.
For sure. Like, gotta move around.
You gotta go around, like in Quebec, you know, in Canada, like in Canada at large, you know, the world. That's the goal.
Right.
And that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, for sure. So. In fact, because we're almost out of time, it's probably a good time now to talk about what's coming up for you. Because I think, like we just said, you played the Rialto a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You played a live session, yesterday? Or something. You have gigs coming up like all the time, basically. Where can the people catch you in the next month or so?
So let's see.
What about those there was like the Soul Montreal Soul
Sound of Soul.
Yeah.
Right. So that's going to be next Friday, not this Friday, but the next one, the 18th.
Cool.
So I'm going to be there with we're going to be a 5-piece, and yeah, we're going to play a repertoire of like classic souls, so like the Bill Withers, the Al Greens, Billy Pauls, and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, make sure you get those tickets if you want to attend. The day before that, on the Thursday, I'm going to be actually opening up for the Urban Science Cypher.
Nice. So, very cool.
Like with a little small band. And yeah, and we're gonna preview some. I'm gonna preview some of the newer material that I've been working on. So it's gonna be
sweet.
I'm excited for that too. And yeah, so that's in the coming weeks. That's it. And then on October 25th, actually, I'm going to be at Espace Nox, not too far from here. Nox. Still in NDG, KNOX.
Yeah.
The Troubadour series.
Yep, very cool.
So for an hour long set.
Solo acoustic.
Well, that's going to be a bit of both. So I'm going to have play some songs with the band.
Awesome.
And play some songs by myself. So yeah, and then yeah, next month, opening up for Emma Jean's album launch.
I saw that too. Yeah.
And then the 21st, I think, at La Vita. Troller with Satellites and Cat Ride. So yeah, all of this you can find if you go on my Facebook page, just Clarel, Clerel.
That's it. Facebook, you have you're plugged in everywhere, I bet, on Instagram, Twitter. Absolutely. Blah blah blah.
Not YouTube. Much going on my Twitter.
Whatever. Don't worry about it. I know. I have one Facebook page for this show. That's like the limit. I was like, invest.
Man, you're not missing anything, man. I'm telling you, no, honestly.
I don't want.
But yeah, so everywhere else, you know, my website. But if you want to keep, but the Bandcamp is the best place to sign up if you just want to kind of stay updated with what's going on as far as.
And there's a new video on YouTube even from your Rialto performance
too. So yeah, I was very lucky. I got some footage from last Sunday's performance, which was such a great show. I unfortunately was not able, since I was downstairs, you know, waiting. I wasn't able to hear Honora. I saw some videos after, and it looked amazing.
Right.
And obviously, Mavis Staples came and just
killed it.
Took us to, you know, took
she
us
took
there.
Us there.
She took us there. She took us there. And, it was a wonderful night. So it's a nice. I figured I wanted at least some kind of souvenir, since it's not every day you say you're gonna be like on the same bill as someone like Mavis Staples.
Absolutely, no. It's a great video. It's a great performance of what was it? It was a Lonely Dance. Yeah, that's right. That was a great show. Yeah. All right, man. Do you think you have one more song in you? Do you think you
Look, if you insist.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I know you play long sets usually, but I don't want to push you with three songs. We only have just a little bit of time left.
Okay, so I'm gonna make it the express version, the rap version.
The rap, exactly. The we're gonna play version. A double time, and we're gonna skip.
Calm down.
So here, yeah.
Make it quick, then.
Oh yeah, I don't want to rush you. I'm so sorry, okay, Clarel. Thank you so much for being here, man. This is like a super great time.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a true pleasure.
Awesome. Can you hear? Can you use that mic? Is that okay? Yeah, you comfortable? Okay. All right, people. Over these opening chords, you've been listening to Sold Out. It's me, Lou, this whole time, and I'll come back at you next week with. I can't even speak because I'm like mesmerized by what's going on. I'll come back next week with a great playlist. Every week, Monday at 8 p.m., you'll catch me here. Thank you for listening, folks. And again, we're going out in style with Clarel right here on CJLO, on Sold Out on CJLO Radio, 1690 a.m.
All these fancy garments, you can wear it all if you want to. Dreamy destinations, you can see it all if you want to. These expensive dinners, you can eat as much as you want to. All manners of riches, now baby, you can have it all if you want to. But I won't give up, I won't give up, I won't give up my right to fall in love. I won't give up my right to be in love. One thing I could never ever do without. No, I won't give up, I won't give up, I won't give up my right to fall in love. I won't give up my right to be in love. It's one thing I could never, ever do without. Never felt the pressure. Never wondered which was the right